Welcome back to Zillennials Podcast. Today on Zillennials, we have a Zillennials dinner party, but it's not really dinner that we made this time. So for this one, we decided that we were going to try to make mocktails. So to start this off, Leanne, do you want to tell us a little bit about, like, have you ever made a mocktail before, or have you made a cocktail?
I don't know if I've specifically made a mocktail. I think I probably had them when I was little, like at gatherings when everyone was having like the grown-up drink and someone made me a little kid version. I think I may have made a cocktail, but like nothing fancy. I know I've done a Moscow Mule, which is you just like put ginger beer and vodka together essentially. So like I feel like I've made mixed drinks, but nothing fancy. What about you?
So I would have to agree with that. I feel like I've made mixed drinks. Like I've made Moscow Mules or like Jack and Coke before, because like I feel like most people have. But this is my first time ever making something a little bit more like cocktail, where it was like you make the simple syrup and then you have the simple syrup in your drink. And I was like, oh, like this is fancy.
I thought it was real fancy. So I know that you picked these recipes, and it's from a like food blog / YouTuber known as Pickup Limes, which I don't know if I picked one of her recipes before for a dinner party. Did I?
I think you did. I think that was where we had originally looked at their website. Either that or maybe you'd mentioned them as being like a really good vegan vegetarian option for a blog.
Yes, I know I did that. I think I did it on one of my favorites. Oh, lasagna soup.
Oh, yes.
And I will admit, a large part of the reason I was drawn in to her channel was the punny name.
It is a very good pun. All their food that they have on there looks so delicious. Like, I'm always like, ooh, I should look through here and pick out something to make for this week because it looks so good. One of the things that I love about it is the food that they use is typically not stuff that's incredibly hard to come by.
I love the food photography on the blog. Like, it just makes me want to eat everything. And I agree with you that, you know, there's a few recipes that might have something special, but I think the majority of them are pretty accessible ingredients. And I'm wondering if I'm correct, and you can look it up on her blog or her channel, is that she's originally from Canada, but I think she lives in the Netherlands now. And so I'm wondering if that plays into it, where like you want ingredients that people everywhere can get.
Maybe that would make sense. Or maybe there's just not as many boxed, processed, etc. ingredients. And it's like, if you want to have like a simple syrup, you got to make it. I don't know. I don't live in the Netherlands. Wish I did.
See, because you mentioned all her different recipes, I'm just looking at them real quick now, and it's like, I think what makes them so appealing to me is that they're all very colorful.
Yes, I have to say, photo editing is on point. The photo editing is beautiful. Like, they have such good colors. It just looks so nice.
So, I know that you suggested two mocktails for this episode, but surprise to the listeners, we are making one. And would you like to explain why?
Yeah, I can definitely explain why. So we were going to make the cinnamon spiced orange and thyme mocktail, and then the other one was we were going to make the blackberry ginger iced green tea, which I was super sad that we weren't able to make because it looks so good. But we were originally going to make the two, but then I realized, because I had put these in, I don't know, like 5 or 6 months ago, probably whenever we were doing our last dinner party, or maybe even before then. And I think I just put them in because I was like, ooh, these look good. Did I read anything past the ingredients? No, I did not. I was just like, oh yeah, this looks delicious. For one of them, you need a blender. I do not have a blender. I have a food processor, which some people will say works the same, but I'm here to tell you it most certainly does not. Because one time I tried to make something that was supposed to be a drink in my food processor, and guess what? It did not go over well. So for that reason, we have decided to scratch the blackberry ginger iced green tea because I don't own a blender.
Somebody needs a blender.
Yeah. Okay. The thing is too, like I used to have a blender. I had this blender that was passed on to me from my grandma. It was like one of those little like Nutribullets or something. Ninja. One of those things. I don't even know.
I don't know either. I feel like both sound correct.
Well, it was one of those. And so one time I was like, I'm going to make myself a smoothie because I'd never used it before. And then what happened was it started smoking and got really hot. And then I just threw it away because I think the motor was like burned out or was starting to burn out. And it was just like, could not blend anything. And I was like, oh, this is probably a fire hazard.
I think smoke is never a good sign from your kitchen appliances.
No, definitely not. So that's the story of why I don't have a blender. Anyways, would you like to sample?
Okay, so. Okay.
I like it. It's subtle.
Ooh. You can taste the thyme. To be honest, I put more thyme in than, I think it only said 4 sprigs. But you know when you pull the fresh thyme out of the little, like, package? And then sometimes like a clump comes out. I just threw the whole clump in. I'm like, who cares? It may be extra thymey. But I think it was the right amount.
It's interesting that you say that because I did like exactly the 4 sprigs. And I was like really worried that it was going to be too strong because I've cooked with sage before. And when I used sage before, it was too strong. And so I don't know why, but I equate sage and thyme to be the same thing, even though they're definitely not. And so I was really worried that the thyme would be too strong, but it's very, very subtle.
Yeah, I don't know why. I feel like I'm always skeptical of when recipes call for certain amounts of spices, because I think in general, I feel like some people underspice their recipes. I don't think she does. So I think the 2 vegan vloggers that I follow, which are Pick Up Limes and then Rainbow Plant Life, I think both of them are very good at spicing, which I appreciate.
I feel like that's the thing with vegan and vegetarian cooks, is because you don't have meat, you have to have the flavors be correct. Like, you have to have the right amount of spice to really make the ingredients sing together.
I do say I don't really taste the ginger as much. I think part of that could be that, one, we made them this morning before recording, so I was too lazy to measure the ginger, and I had like a little stub of ginger, say, give or take an inch or so, and I was like, well, let's just grate this whole thing and throw it in. So I don't think I got a full 2 tablespoons out of that. So that is a me thing. And I think also, to me, I really like it because I can taste the thyme. But it does taste a lot like orange juice with ginger ale, which I think is because I totally did not add the cinnamon.
I have the cinnamon in mind. I feel like the cinnamon, it's a good add to it. I really do like it. But I think that I wish I would have added a little bit more thyme because I think the thyme flavor is a bit weak if you follow it to recipe.
I think I ended up putting maybe 5 or 6, and I think it originally called for 4.
Yeah, so maybe next time I would do like 5 or 6.
But I really like it. I think it'd be great for a brunch because it gives me like elevated non-alcoholic mimosa vibes.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say it definitely feels like a mimosa, but it's not a mimosa. So I feel like what I'm going to have to do is when my family comes over for brunch, I'll have an excuse to make this. Also, I don't know about you, but it says that it serves like 4, and I definitely did not measure out how much like simple syrup I was pouring in. Like, you know how we had to like shake up the simple syrup? I think I probably went a little on the light side, which might be why mine doesn't taste super thymey. But I went a little on the light side just because I was like worried that otherwise it'd be too sweet.
Yeah, I think that reminds me is we both kind of had interesting ingredient sourcing issues, I would call it. And so this morning, the simple syrup that she calls for is made with water and maple syrup. And then you put the thyme and stuff in. But I used up the maple syrup. I thought there was extra. I could not find it. So I was like, oh, this is just a simple syrup. Like the maple syrup is just replacing the sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So I just made it with regular sugar, but I think I cut the simple syrup recipe. Maybe? No, I think I cut it in half because the same reason of I didn't want it to be too sweet, especially if I was using just like plain white sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you can also do that if you find out that you are all out of maple syrup. But also, I think the maple syrup would add more of a flavor profile that plain sugar wouldn't. So I'd probably recommend going with the maple syrup.
Yeah, I think the maple syrup was like a good add. It feels more like woodsy and smoky, even though maple syrup is not smoky. I don't know. It's hard to describe. But I think one of the things that's nice about it, too, is that like you can choose how much simple syrup you want to pour into your drink. Because when I was originally looking at the recipe, did I read all the way through the instructions? No, of course not. And I was like, I'm going to have to shake this thing up. And it's going to have ginger ale and orange juice in it. So I was picturing putting all of it into like one big shaker. Not the case, by the way.
Also, ginger ale and orange juice are quite sugary in themselves. And that was part of my concern.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I was like, just a little bit of the simple syrup is plenty for me. I'm like, I don't need a lot.
I think the simple syrup is more a way to get the thyme flavor into the drink.
I agree. I think otherwise, maybe, I don't know, maybe you could like marinate the thyme in your drink. I don't know. That sounds so gross, but.
What if you just boiled the thyme or simmered the thyme in plain water? It would water down the drink, but I don't know what the sugar actually does to get the flavor into it. You know what I mean?
Sorry, I'm pondering. This is a long pause because I'm pondering this. I think that you would need the sugar because I think it helps to extract it and hold on to the flavor a little bit better. So I think that's why you need like some sort of sugar with it. Just because it's kind of like in a recipe when you're cooking and you add like just the smallest dash of sugar to kind of make the flavors like come together or to like highlight the sweet and salt flavor. Does that make sense?
That's fair. You know, like when you throw fresh herbs into like a soup when you're making soup broth?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was kind of thinking. But also I think when you do that, the flavor isn't quite as strong. So you may have a point there. Also, no, I don't know. It'd be interesting because I just feel like with something that has like a soda and orange juice base,
mm-hmm.
I like adding the thyme flavor, but I think you wouldn't necessarily need to add sugar. But the question is, how do you get that same flavor?
So I think what would probably need to happen then, and this is just me like spitballing because I don't actually know, is I think what I would do is I would probably like maybe boil it in the orange juice or something to use like the sugar in the orange juice or the acidity in the orange juice to get that out. And maybe that would work. I have no idea if it would, but like maybe that would work. Also, that's kind of one of the reasons why I was like, I'm actually kind of glad that we're only doing one of the mocktails, is because I was like, it can be like a lot of sugar to have two mocktails.
I think orange juice is a good idea because you obviously can't do it with the ginger ale because you can't boil ginger ale.
Yeah, that'd be really weird. I don't like what even happens if you boil a soda. I don't know.
I think it would just get syrupy. Like it would lose its bubbles.
Yeah, probably. So for next time, if we try this again, we can definitely try like boiling it in with the orange juice and see if that accomplishes the flavor profile. And then we can just like use the strainer and strain it out.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because I didn't use them. I don't know. I think all my ginger's at the bottom. I'm kind of going to stir it up, but I don't have anything to stir it with. So I'm just kind of shaking it.
Oh, I strained my ginger because I think it said to strain it, which I was like, I don't know how I feel about that. But also I didn't have if you're not catching on to the theme of this episode, I did not have anything to grate my ginger with. So I chopped it by hand and was like, this is going to be fine enough. And then I put it in the shaker and was like, this will be fine.
I think you're right. I think it did say to strain it over. But after I simmered the simple syrup, the thyme was still intact enough that I just plucked it out. And then I shook up the simple syrup with the other stuff. And I didn't see the point in dirtying a whole different utensil just to strain some grated ginger out.
I think that that's fair.
Maybe if I'm serving this to somebody else at like a party, I would have, but I'm like, this is just for me, and that seems like unnecessary work.
I do think that this would be like a really good party drink, though. Like if you're trying to have enough for like your friends around you, because you can make the syrup beforehand and then it's literally just mixing everything together, which is super nice. Because I was, like I said, at first I didn't realize that you made the syrup separate and then you would just mix it all together. But it works great.
I think I mentioned this before about her website, but it's really nice because let's say you were having a bigger party, is on the recipe, there's like a little thingy and you can move it up and down for how many people. So then you don't have to do the math yourself.
Yeah. That is a dangerous tool, though. Recall the lasagna soup when I decided to make two.
Okay. Well, here's the thing is I think for this recipe, it might work better. The weird thing about the lasagna soup is that it said it fed three. And so I had the same thought where I was like, that's such a weird amount of people to feed. Maybe I should double it. And then I was like, eh, I guess I won't. If I don't have leftovers, I don't have leftovers. So that is true. If you're making this, I would suggest following the recipe the first time just to see how much you get before you start doubling.
Yeah, because I feel like it said that it served four, which I think is probably pretty accurate. I mean, like, I used, like, I don't know, a little glass that you would use for, I guess, like, whiskey stuff. Like, one of those glasses that you see on the TV shows where it's, like, the old guy's in the bar and he's swirling the whiskey on the rocks. Like, I used one of those glasses. And I feel like I could get at least four, maybe even six out of the recipe. I don't know. Also, question for you. Did you wait for your simple syrup to cool down?
I did let it cool a bit only because you were still at the grocery store when I was making it. So it had a little bit of time. But seeing as we made this like right before recording, that was one of my concerns where I was like, I don't know if this is going to have time to cool down. Then I looked at the recipe and you throw it on a bunch of ice anyway. So I was just kind of like, well, worst case scenario, the ice will melt.
Yeah, because I definitely did not let mine cool. I just threw it in there. I was like, it'll be fine. And then I also didn't have a shaker, so I definitely shook it in my water bottle.
I shook it in a blender bottle. I also used the blender bottle to measure.
Very nice.
I'm sure that's what the company thought of when they made it. It's like, this is for protein drinks after workouts, and here I am making a mocktail with it.
Hey, it's multi-use.
That is true.
But yeah, I think that this is like a really nice recipe. I really like it and I would probably make it again. Like, I think I would make it again if I was having people over for brunch.
I'd definitely make it again. It was pretty easy too. Did I bristle a little bit about the idea of grating ginger? Maybe. But it's really not that bad. And I think this is pretty easy to scale, like you said, for a gathering because it's a little more special than just like, I don't know, pouring orange juice and champagne in a bottle. Not to knock mimosas, but it has like that little elevated punch to it, but it's not overly complicated, even if you scale it up.
Yeah, it was definitely like not that bad. I was very nervous going into this recipe, though, because I don't think I've ever attempted to make a drink quite so fancy. How did you feel about it?
I felt okay, I think, mainly because I just looked at the ingredients and the fact that it's a 5-step directions, and the last one is garnish as desire and enjoy. I figured, well, this can't be that complicated. And luckily it wasn't, because sometimes you think that, and then it is.
Yeah, I was just like, this is a lot of ingredients for a singular drink. I was like, this is gonna be intense. But it was not as bad as I thought it would be. So, if you're somebody looking to try out making mocktails or making cocktails, I'd say this is a good start. And I think for people who are out there who are like, I really wish it was a cocktail, I think you probably could like add some vodka and it would be fine.
Yeah. I know the blackberry ginger one at the bottom is like, if you want to make it alcoholic, you can add some whiskey. I feel like for this one, also, I don't really drink whiskey, so I don't know a lot about whiskeys. I feel like this one, you're probably pretty safe just adding some vodka. Or if you wanted it bubbly, I guess the ginger ale adds a little bubbly, but I don't think mine was super bubbly.
was gonna say, you could probably just do like the champagne like a mimosa.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you could definitely add the champagne.
So I know you didn't read all the instructions, so I'm assuming you didn't get to the bottom with all the pictures, but my syrup did not look like that. It could be because I didn't use maple syrup, so it wasn't as dark, but hers is like really dark.
Oh. I mean, I think mine was like kind of dark. I think it's because it was also like you added a whole half teaspoon of cinnamon in there too.
Which I did not do.
Honestly, I couldn't really tell because the pan I was cooking it in is black. So I'm like, I couldn't really tell the color.
I feel like that's like living on the edge though. Is this burning or is it not? Find out later.
At one point in time, mine was like bubbling as if it was boiling. And I was like, oh, this is going to be burnt. But it turned out fine.
Wow. That was a quick little dinner party for the quarter. So, our next dinner party.
For our next dinner party, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the cookbook of Liam Charles from The Great British Bake Off. And then we're going to pick a sweet and a savory recipe, and we're going to try each of them. Also, if you are somebody who likes to tune in for our book clubs, our next book club is going to be After Parties by Anthony Faisnassau, and that will be dropping on May 1st.
We hope you enjoyed this short and sweet dinner party. We'd love to hear any mocktails that you like to make. So you can send this to us by email at zillennialspodcast@gmail.com or DM us on Instagram at Zillennials Podcast. And don't forget to rate and review Zillennials Podcast on Apple Podcasts.